Are you standing at a crossroad, wondering which road you should take? And you're dreading the decision and a possible mistake. But the will of God won't lead you where the grace of God won't keep you, and you will never be out of His care. Remember that the Lord's already there, wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are. You are waiting to hear thunder and see lightning in the sky. Oh, but God can work His wonders through a still small voice inside. So keep listening and learning and continue on that journey, following the One who is the way. Oh, He's the only road you need to take. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Can everyone on POGM and Discord hear me? Yes, yes. All right, praise the Lord. All right, so today's sermon is titled Come. C-O-M-E, Come. And we have quite a bit to to go through because there's a lot to this, praise the Lord. Let's begin with Genesis 6:18. Genesis 6:18 says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." And also Genesis 7:1. Genesis 7:1 says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." The Lord has always been about drawing people toward himself, as we see in John 6:44. In John 6:44, it's written, "No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Notice that the Lord says, "Come," when instructing Noah where to go. The Lord didn't tell him to go towards safety and salvation. He told him to come. The Lord was already in the ark, waiting for Noah and inviting him to enter into the only place in all of the world where safety could be found, in the presence and light of God. Where the Lord is, there is safety. And there is no safety or salvation outside of the Lord, just like there was no safety or salvation outside of the ark. Even when he called the apostles Simon and Andrew, notice how he phrased it in Mark 1:17. Mark 1:17, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." You see the very same thing with Matthew as well, when we go to Luke 5:27. Luke 5:27 says, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me." When there is obedience, when that call is answered to follow the Lord, there is safety. There has always been safety in obedience to the Lord. In Leviticus 25:17-19. Leviticus 25:17-19 says, "Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land in safety, and the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety." Following the Lord, seeking after him, has always meant that people need to come to him. It makes logical sense, really. When you follow anyone, you're actively going toward them and walking with them. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ invites all men to come and follow him because where he goes, there is salvation and safety. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then said Jesus of his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And also Revelation 14:4. Revelation 14:4 says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." And, you know, in the following example, though he ended up denying the Lord by walking away from him, the rich young ruler also received the invitation to come and follow Jesus in Matthew 19:21. Matthew 19:21. "Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Wherever you look in the scriptures, the Lord says we ought to come to him. There is no joy, no happiness, no salvation, no prosperity, and no future to anyone who chooses to go away from him. Just like you see when there are those who reject the truth, who reject to follow the Lord where he goes, they tend to go to, I mean, if they're believers of any sort, they tend to go into those churches that the Lord specifically called us to, called everyone to walk away from. But there are riches galore in his presence. He truly is a rewarder of all who diligently seek him, as we read in Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The heart of the righteous know that drawing closer to Jesus manifests in diligent study and prayer, for we know that he is the Word of God. Therefore, to read his word, to study it, to pray unto our Father actively causes us to come closer to him. When we read the Bible, the KJV Bible, and believe all that is written therein, we receive the spiritual bread and living water we need to help us through the day, to help us through every day and guide us throughout our entire lifetimes. Within the 66 books of the Bible, we find everything we need to be thoroughly furnished with all that is needed to prosper. Without coming to the Lord each and every day through his word, people become malnourished, they become dehydrated, and they become sick. As we wander in this foreign land, we can find no sustenance except that we find it in Jesus. In Psalm 63:1-8. Psalm 63:1-8. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. It's in Jesus that we find sustenance. It's in Jesus that we find everything that we require. In a literal sense, coming to where the Lord is and following him whithersoever he goes, as is the case for his people, will always mean that there's a guiding light and safety from all that the enemy of souls has to offer. When God's people wandered in the desert, our Lord led them by a cloud by day and kept them warm with a fire by night. In Exodus 13:21-22 says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." But his grace abounded even more, in that he provided to his people all of their daily needs. There was enough food, enough water, and enough firewood to sustain them every single day. His miracles were before their eyes at every moment for those 40 years. He prepared them with that bread from heaven and rushing waters while they wandered to prepare them to enter into the promised land. In like manner, he sustains us with himself, for he is that bread and water from heaven. He's preparing us to enter into the promised land, his kingdom, as we wander in this dry and thirsty land called earth. John 7:37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And just as his people needed to continually come to him for those 40 years in the desert, we too need to come to him at all times to receive everything we need. As is obvious, if any of his people had wandered away from that cloud by day or pillar of fire by night, they would have been lost, hungry, thirsty, and lifeless. And so the lesson is clear. Come to Jesus and follow him. He will sustain us. He will guide us. He will help us, protect us, and provide everything we need. He's done this throughout all time for his people. He is the God who never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All who come to him will have all they require. Nehemiah 9:21 says, "Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not." What wonderful grace he bestowed upon his people. Along with their daily needs, he even made sure that their clothes remained intact, and despite all that walking, their feet didn't swell. What a loving God we serve. He displayed his uplifting and caring hand toward Elijah as well, as we see in 1 Kings 17:9, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." The Lord frequently works through the hands of other people to make certain that his people receive the care that they need. If you read on from there, you'll also see that Elijah was given food and water during this drought. Moreover, the meek, humble, and obedient nature of the widow woman brought her to a place of self-denial. Through that, the Lord Almighty blessed her with more than she could ask for, but it took self-denial. It took her simply obeying regardless of her desperate circumstance. And we're going to read this in 1 Kings 17:10-16. 1 Kings 17:10-16. "So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she, and he, and her house, did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." This is the kind of faith that all of us need to have in these days. As the governments of the world will continually clamp down upon God's people, and there can be a distinct lack, trusting and hoping in the Lord, that's what will sustain us. He will give to his children everything that we require, even when what we have is very meager. And it seems like it's not even enough to sustain one person. Here comes the Lord to make sure that everything we need is right there. There is no need to worry, brothers and sisters. Come unto our Father with every one of your burdens, and he will provide everything you need. All you need to do is keep your eyes fixed upon heaven. Bow in humble obedience to him, and he will make certain that his child will overcome. Psalm 55:22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never
suffer the righteous to be moved. The peace of God is upon all who come to Him. When we come to the Lord, He causes us to even sleep safely. In Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Only by coming to the Lord is there safety from our enemies, safety from famine, and safety in every other sense of the word. In Psalm 33:16-19, Psalm 33:16-19, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And also Proverbs 21:30-31. Proverbs 21:30-31. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Even prophecy says that there will be a false safety proclaimed in our days, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But, as the Lord has revealed to all of us, there is no safety when someone goes away from Him. Rather, safety is assured to all who come to Him, submit to Him, and obey His will. In 1 Thessalonians 5:4-11. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-11. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Take, for example, the situation with Legion. In Legion is where we witness the false peace that comes when people choose to walk away from Jesus. Those 2,000 demons were shaking in their boots at the presence of Christ. In their warped and twisted mentality, which is the same warped and twisted mentality that they're working in the world today, they believed that they could find safety in jumping into the unclean swine. But notice the singular command our Lord gave them when they requested to go into the herd of swine. Matthew 8:28-32. Matthew 8:28-32. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergeses, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, an herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And here's where you see his command. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. That's all Jesus had to say. Go. But you notice that was toward those who were against him anyway. Those were straight up demons. False safety. They thought they could find safety from away from Jesus. They were so scared. And can you imagine that? Jesus came looking just like you and me. Though he could have given himself a huge body of muscle, he could have stood 7-8 feet tall, he could have been an imposing figure. But no, he came in his meekness, but those demons knew who they were looking at. They knew that that was the Son of God. And that's why they were so frightened. That's their creator right there. And so, just like anybody who runs from Jesus, they will try to seek the mountains, right? We know that in the end, people are going to be hiding in mountains, trying to hide in caves, trying to do anything and everything possible to keep themselves from the face of God. It's the same spirit. False safety always requires a choice to go away from Jesus. But as you've seen already, true safety requires the choice to come to Him. When anyone chooses to come to God, the natural outcome is obedience. Satan and his falsehoods are cast aside by the loving light of God, wherein evil cannot dwell. What the enemy wants is rebellion, for he was the first to rebel against the commandments of God. Many are deceived into believing that their works will bring them closer to God when he desires a broken and a contrite heart that's willing to obey. The deceived believe that their sacrifices of certain things is good enough, like in the case of, the man-made holiday of Lent. Many of the deceived believe that their sacrifices of certain things is good enough without having to obey the Lord's commands. But the lip service they offer does nothing, because their hearts are far from it. Like we see is the case with King Saul. Right, 1 Samuel 15:22-23. 1 Samuel 15:23-23. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Which speaks to the fact that we are all called to be kings and queens. We're all called to be priests. But with rebellion and stubbornness, that's a rejection of the word of God. And in that choice to walk away from him instead of coming to him, there's a rejection for taking the place that he promises to us. Rebellion oftentimes is subtle and difficult, if not impossible, to see. But most of the time, rebellion begins with small, seemingly insignificant choices. The further one walks from the Lord, the more you witness changes in the person that seem extremely small, especially in a fallen world. Women and girls will wear pants, jewelry, and makeup. Men and boys will also wear jewelry, and as you can clearly see in these end times, it's become routine for many men to wear skirts, dresses, and makeup as well. Quite often, you'll see men growing their hair long and women cutting their hair short. Christian modesty goes out the window when the wayward soul goes away from Christ. But for those who come unto the Lord, a precious change occurs. The old ways die, and the way of Christ takes their place. It is not the case that things like dress reform, or Christian modesty, or health reform, and Sabbath keeping are obeyed because of a grudging sense that we have to obey such things. We obey the Lord in all He says simply because we love Him, and we simply desire to make Him smile. Ezekiel 11:19 says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh." The warmed and softened heart that was once cold and hardened will naturally crave to walk as Jesus walked. Drawing closer to Him, coming closer to His side, will always have this effect. The appeal has been given time and time again. Come to the Lord. Refuse to go from Him toward the unclean things that will naturally result in death, as we saw with with Legion. We continually draw ever closer to Him, watching, waiting, and trusting that the closer we come to Him, the greater our joy will be until that great and blessed day comes, that we will finally be with Him in eternity. Our Savior gives an invitation to all mankind. Matthew 11:28-30. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And also Matthew 19:14. Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. For all of us to have faith as a little child, simply believing, simply trusting. That is what it's all about. No more doubts. No more questioning, no more reluctance, no more hesitation, but simply following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Do you remember when Peter walked on the water? We're all familiar with what was said there, but do you remember the brief exchange he had with Jesus? Notice what was said. Matthew 14:28-29. Matthew 14:28-29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. In the end, all are invited into the kingdom of God. And the invitation is given in one word. Revelation 22:17. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. In all the times that we witness the Lord telling us to come unto Him, there is one instance wherein we find a tremendous peace and receive an unspeakable amount of hope. It's when it is triumphantly declared that our Savior will come to collect His bride. Psalm 96:12-13. Psalm 96:12-13. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And, nearing the very end of the entire Bible, Revelation 22:20. Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Nobody need doubt. Our King is coming. He's prepared mansions for us in His Father's house. He is coming to collect His bride, to bring her home where she belongs. We all need to prepare. We all need to keep our lamps trimmed and full of oil. Repentance for all known sin and proclamation of the prophetic truth is our joy as well as our duty. Let the people know of their Redeemer. Tell them of His saving grace and what He did for all mankind on His cross. Tell the nations of Jesus, teaching them obedience to His name. Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. As He sends us forth into the world, He walks with us. Push forward the present truth. Let every soul know of His Sabbath truth and the prophecies that are soon to be fulfilled. give the people the opportunity to bow their knees to their Creator, to give Him the worship and praise due unto His holy name. Let their hearts be cut by the truth of God's Word. Above all, let them know of the deep and abiding love of Jesus Christ toward them, and pray that the Holy Spirit would come to convict them of their sins, just as He has done with each of us. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Let every soul know that they can come to the throne of God. The invitation belongs to them as well. We aren't told to go to the throne of grace, nor are we told to go to Jesus to find rest into our weary lives. No, we're told to come to Him and to come to the throne. Hebrews 4:14-16. Hebrews 4:14-16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where the Lord is, that's where we need to be. Where He is always going to be the best place, and our Father is there waiting for us. The character of our Father in heaven is the character of love. He will certainly give us the opportunity to do what we desire, because we were designed and created with free will. But He constantly calls us to come back to Him. Just like the Father in the parable of the prodigal son, our Father is filled with utter joy and happiness when the wayward soul humbly returns, repents of all the wrongs committed against Him, and seeks nothing more than to be reconciled with Him. Notice how the father of the prodigal son reacted when his lost son came back to him in Luke 15:20-24. Luke 15:20-24, and he arose, the prodigal son arose, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The lesson is clear, and the message is certain. Let every soul come to God to find forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. Our Father is waiting with open arms to provide protection, guidance, and salvation to everyone who comes and rests under the shadow of His wings, just like He did with Noah when he came to the Lord who was already waiting in the ark. I hope and pray that you are blessed by everything we went over today. There's going to be a song, and after the song is done, we will close out in prayer. God bless.
You bear patiently with me. Thy word is a lamp and a light unto my feet. where would I go without you? A hopeless sailor on the sea. And where would I hide in the storm? Surely your wings enfold me. Behold the Christ, and you'll see find your rest, find peace. Open your eyes so you may see why are you still wandering? And where would I go without you? A hopeless sailor on the sea. And where would I hide in the storm? Your presence goes on before me. And where would I go without you? A hopeless sailor on the sea. And where would I hide in the storm? Your presence goes on before me.
Out in prayer. And if you can't kneel, of course, our Father understands. Father in heaven, we thank you for always blessing us with the invitation to come to you. We thank you for blessing us with your Son, who took our punishment on his cross. And we pray that you would always guide us and bless us with the courage and strength to go out there and preach salvation in his name. And that we would with boldness go out there and teach the present truth to warn the people as you've instructed us. And we praise your name, Father, for guiding us ever closer to your side and helping us to edify one another and to just in every way show forth the character of your Son. We thank you, Father, for blessing us and cleansing us and forgiving us for our sins. Help us, Father, in every moment as we assure your will. And we thank you for the Sabbath day, and we pray that for the rest of the Sabbath day, we would have you in mind. We would think on your word and speak of your goodness, and that in every conceivable way we would bring glory to your name. To the best of our abilities, we make these prayers to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.